This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
Practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer.
But it is the highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious podcast, proudly brought to you by the Bamboo app. Crypto Curious is your go-to source for all things cryptocurrency. Whether you're a seasoned pro or new to the world of crypto, we've got you covered. Each week, we'll break down the top news stories of the past 7 days, giving you the information you need to stay on top of the latest trends and developments. Plus, we'll share quick bites of news and insights that you won't want to miss. If you're new to crypto, we recommend starting with our early episodes as we break down the basics and give you a solid foundation to understand the crypto world. Join us as we explore the ever-evolving world of cryptocurrency and educate ourselves along the way. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about the debt ceiling and how that affected the crypto price. Plus, what's China doing with crypto? Are they backflipping? We're going to discuss Nike's NFT launch, which was very successful. There's also some interesting things going on with a bit of a rug pull in the crypto land at the moment. And we're going to talk about that one. Plus, Craig's Pudgy Penguins are doing super well in NFT land. So we're going to cover off those things in this week's episode. My name's Tracy, and this week, Craig and I are joined by Theo Kanellopoulos. Did I get that right? Yes.
You absolutely did.
Yes. Theo is co-founder of NFT Melbourne, which was super popular this year, and Lucky NFT. Back in his Web2 world, Theo is CEO of Digital Agency Out in the Clouds. So thanks for being with us to talk about crypto this week, Theo.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. We were very excited because Blake is away and he hates talking about NFT stuff, and me and Craig love it. So, yeah, we're looking forward to talking all about crypto and NFTs. Let's go straight into some market talk. And is it all around what's happened with the debt ceiling, do we think? Or is there a bit more to it?
I'm not sure, but that news about the debt ceiling has really pushed up all asset classes. And Bitcoin had a bit of a shakeout last week. Even you had a bit of a panic sell trace.
Oh, I don't know.
But we're back to the races now.
Please, I don't know if I had a panic sell. Come on.
We're back to the pre-sell-off levels. So, yeah, I guess it was the debt ceiling, which you can give a bit of an update to.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. So crypto prices had a nice little pump on Sunday night with the news that the US lawmakers had ended their stalemate over the government's debt ceiling debate. So as part of the deal agreed between President Joe Biden and Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the plans are a 30% tax on crypto mining also has been shelved as part of this deal. So I think what exactly was the deal as well? There's no debt ceiling until January 2025?
I mean, that's interesting. It's, you know, the kicking the can down the road scenario that every country is doing, basically, but particularly America has been leading the way for well over a decade. I'm certainly no financial expert, but what I do know is if you keep printing money, money's going to be useless.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, we've been on the way there for a long time, I'm sure. That's why many people are in crypto, right? So, I didn't see this coming. I thought they'd sort of let what needs to happen happen, but how much further can they go? They sort of keep making their own rules and like I said, keep kicking the can down the road. So, you know, the inevitable will happen at one point or another. All they're doing is, in my opinion, making what will inevitably happen worse when it does happen. And they've still got, you know, a complete house of cards there that many different levers could set things off from. I mean, the college debt he's essentially paid off now for the most part. So maybe that's not as big of a problem as it was, but there's just it's just too, yeah, it's too dicey for me. Like, it's just, who knows what the solution is, but printing more cash certainly isn't.
I think then that's what's going to happen. It's there's infinite money. They've just basically said it's infinite money printing until 2025. So
bullish. But the good news is, after this news, Bitcoin touched 28,000 USD and Ethereum went up over 1900 USD. So both of those assets are looking nice for a decent monthly close. So maybe the sell in May, go away, come back in October isn't a thing anymore.
So, I mean, if we can hold on, and what is it at time of recording? It's the 30th. So this time tomorrow, if we can somehow keep over 28,800, then yeah, we're looking good to hold a little bit longer. But look, this flows in nicely to some other news that happened yesterday. So China is apparently on the verge of lifting its crypto ban. And China has a long history of banning crypto. So please excuse me if I don't get too excited about the legitimacy of this news piece. But if it is true, then I think this will pump markets because this is big news. But again, it's not signed, sealed, delivered. What are your thoughts here? Is this just pie in the sky, or will this come to fruition?
Yeah, I think this whole thing, not the whole thing started, but CZ was actually on Twitter, he's had a bit of a week, old CZ, but he was on Twitter. He shared a link to a TV segment over in China, which featured a Bitcoin ATM in Hong Kong, and the sign said buy Bitcoins. And he pretty much shared that and just said, China Central Television just broadcasted crypto. He said it's a big deal. The Chinese-speaking communities are buzzing.
So is that the first time they've done it? Is that why?
Yeah, he said historically coverage is like this has led to bull runs. But, you know, as Tracy said, a bit of history as well. In 2021, which was, you know, peak bull market, China enacted its strictest crypto trading and mining ban. So they banned all Bitcoin and Ethereum and crypto miners in the country. What do you think, Theo? Are we getting false hope? Or, you know, I think the Hong Kong news a few weeks ago is bullish, but what do you think about this one?
Well, I wouldn't be buying anything until it actually happens, right? Like, they're so unpredictable. They make their own rules. They're in their own world. So, yeah, I certainly wouldn't. I mean, I don't trade in general anyway, but I think it's still a gamble. If you're going in just on that thesis, then I'd be pretty conservative there.
You made a good point though, Craig, because when that happened, all the miners, which you just mentioned, went offshore, didn't they? They all went all over the place, to the US, a lot of them went, and now a lot of them are leaving the US. This could be an opportunity for the miners then to go back to China. Hadn't really thought of it that way. But look, there's no doubt that this will impact global markets if it is in fact true. But given that it is China and they are really funny with their restrictions, that they will hold tight control over whatever they do. And they have got their own currencies there that they will protect.
But what we do know is that Hong Kong are allowing Bitcoin and trading and crypto trading from June 1st. So that is happening. That's confirmed. So the new rules will require all Hong Kong trading platforms and exchanges to apply for a certain license. So that is happening 100%. So it's going to be.
And they've given a list of what was it, a couple of dozen different coins straight away? Yes.
So all the big ones. The ones that had the biggest swings were Bitcoin, Ethereum, Binance, Ripple, Cardano, Doge, Polygon, and Solana.
All right. Well, we shall see how that one pans out. Moving on next, let's chat about this Nike swoosh story. Nike have done it, folks. We've spoken about this one a few times on the podcast. Despite ongoing delays and technical challenges, the impact of their experience of the users, Nike swoosh Web3 platform launched its inaugural NFT sneaker collection, generating over $1 million in sales. And this one took about 2 days to happen. I went online, had a look. The website's really cool. I mean, I'm a sneakerhead anyway, but I like to actually be able to wear them. So, what are your thoughts on this, Theo? Did you keep an eye on it from the get-go?
Yeah, for sure. Look, I think them sort of isolating it to North America and not making it available in Australia meant that I didn't bother getting in on it, and many of my.
So why did they do that then? Why?
They said something about regulations. I'm not completely sure what the deal was there. But yeah, I was very jealous watching people. I mean, even some people were creating like
fake IPs to get around it.
And also like you can get like redirection addresses and things like that, or getting their mates over there to get them. But look, I think it's an incredible use case. Obviously, The whole Clone X piece with Nike has been at the forefront of Web3 since they sort of made that acquisition. Mm. So, you know, it's an incredible use case for that. There might be the penny that drops for many, many people in the mainstream to sort of understand where the upside might be from a Web3 perspective. But, you know, they're certainly, you know, they're only just starting in terms of, like, you know, from a Web3 journey perspective. So clearly, you know, they've had some issues. Many drops have issues in any technical landscape, let alone Web3 being so new. There's always issues with drops, so you can't really discount that.
Where do you think they'll go with it? Like, what other things do you see them being able to do?
It's infinite, like in terms of, you know, apparel and rewards.
Access to the athletes that they have as well.
Athletes, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's infinite. And even if you think about, like, the types of people that they've already sent their shoes to, incorporating that, it'll move into, you know, into entertainment as well. I don't think it'll just stay with sports.
So, Theo, you've obviously got your Web3 agency, which sort of would be helping Nike, like, do this sort of deal. Do you see any, like, Aussie brands or Aussie industries that you think there is synergies? Like, obviously sport is obvious, gambling is obvious, music is obvious. Like, what are there any sort of ones that you're working on that you could share?
Yes, so we're creating one of our own in the music scene. So my business partners own probably one of the bigger independent music and entertainment companies called Lucky Entertainment, or Lucky Group now, because they have many brands under their banner. So they own festival brands, nightclubs, artist rosters, management company, record labels, etc. So the idea is that we're building a digital access pass where the holders of those access passes can access money can't buy experiences, whether it be songwriting sessions with platinum award-winning artists like Mask Wolf, or backstage access at festivals like Ultra, or, you know, unreleased music, pre-released music, access to, you know, shows before anyone else, free tickets to shows, things like that.
I've always thought that the whole NFT for tickets space is just the most obvious. Like,
obvious.
I have friends that have been scammed off selling a Splendor ticket or a Listen Out ticket. Is that something that you would be working on, Theo?
That's a bigger problem than we're probably willing to bite off from a platforming perspective. So you got to think, you know, particularly on the higher end of events. Like, for instance, you know, we were talking to a large scale, probably the biggest sporting event in Australia about a partnership. And sort of actually doing our NFT Melbourne show during their events. And they've got the venue they most of their games are on are contracted to Ticketmaster. So many of the larger venues already have contracts with these ticketing platforms. So incorporating NFT ticketing, once you're inside, We could certainly do it and provide utility for people that have our specific ticket or token that comes with it. But for those larger sort of arenas or parks or you know, anything that's sort of already got contracts, that's already existing. So we'd be really relying on either those venues finding other ticketing platforms once those contracts are up that are a bit more innovative, or hopefully the bigger guys move quickly. And I've seen, you know, we've already seen that almost all of them have a Web3 division now, whether that's just ticking a box just so they can say that's what they're doing, or they actually are genuinely putting things together. They'd be silly not to, because if your point is 100% right. Like, it's such a no-brainer, and it's there's so much upside for every stakeholder in the ticketing ecosystem. So those that don't do it are going to lose market share for sure.
You talked about ticketing, but then there's the other aspect of fans. We're talking about, like, big stadium stuff, but what about the small bands who really want to leg up and who can do something on a smaller scale and get, say, 1,000 fans, produce their album, and those 1,000 fans then get a copy of it or a concert ticket to the next one? There's utility ongoing, and then, you know, it kind of snowballs from there, and, you know, you can kind of cut out, you know, so many.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. So that's exactly what we're doing with Lucky World, where there'll be, you know, will be the sort of the central spot for any of our artists to leverage what we're doing from, like, an access perspective. And then they can dip their toe into Web3 without fully committing their brand and sort of get a feel for it. And then if they want to launch their own thing, we can help them.
Because that's where I see it working. Like they're the ones that will really benefit from it. They're not just them as the artist, but the people who want to support them, you know, because Absolutely. They are the real true fans who will get benefit down the line also.
100%. Yeah, I mean it's essentially what will replace major labels.
Yeah.
Like the leverage that major labels have is they'll give you an advance, but then
cutting out that big percentage.
Yeah, all of the money that your music makes, they get back first to pay that advance back, and then they keep a significant percentage of anything ongoing above and beyond that. And all you've really the value exchange there is you've basically given them the majority of your earnings for however long the deal's for, so that they can give you some money up front and some exposure or, you know, distribution. Now, you know, with the way social's working, you know, in the last, let's say, half decade at least, a lot of these artists already have these platforms to get to the people they need to get to. So solving that upfront money piece can be done through sort of raising money from your loyal sort of super fan, so to speak, instead of going and getting a big check from a major label.
It's interesting. You have to keep us in the loop for when you launch that, and we can talk about it again on the show. All right, well, look, let's move on to our next story. And this is actually a story I was telling Craig today that you mentioned to me yesterday that I don't know much about this. I mentioned it to Craig. I should have known he'd be all over it because it's deep in it's deep in DGen Twitter and Reddit world. But this is a story about a guy called Ben.eth. And again, I do scour the news sites for all the news that I should possibly put on the show all week, but I'm not really massively in Twitter all the time. And I briefly looked at this story and it looks like it kind of has played out over Twitter. So again, this seems to be a story of deception and a bit of, well, what's going on here? I'm going to leave it to you guys. Who wants to take the lead and tell us about this character, Ben.eth, and potential memes and stealing of money? And I don't know, you know, what's happened here in the last week with this guy?
So influencers are influencing, that's what I'd say. And okay. just a bit of a history lesson on what's happened. So Ben Bitboy Armstrong, who's on Twitter and YouTube, he's the guy that went to the Bahamas to try to catch SBF. He's shilling a coin called Bencoin. Now, he has quote unquote nothing to do with Bencoin. Bencoin has been launched by Ben.eth, and it is for people who are named Ben to join this community. And so Bitboy has shared this and said, people all want to invest in themselves. Now Bens can do that. Now you're probably thinking this is the dumbest story ever, but this Ben crypto went to $16.5 million in market cap.
It honestly gives us a bad name.
Its volume in 24 hours went to $47 million.
So how long ago was this though? When was this?
This is over the last 2 or 3 weeks. This has sort of kicked off.
Right.
And Bitboy is like pretending that there's actual use case behind this coin. It just makes the space look a little bit amateur, in my opinion. And Bitboy, you know, has substantial online presence. He's got 1 million Twitter followers and 1.4 million YouTube subscribers.
But he's not the Ben, right?
He's not the Ben, but he's involved and he's shilling it on his, you know, 2.4 million subscriber list. So, and all this, the kicker in all this, guys, is that he's actually in legal battles with FTX. So he's being sued by investors because he was one of the influencers that promoted FTX. So while all this is happening, he's shilling a shitcoin called Bencoin. Theo, thoughts?
There's more to this, isn't there?
But I didn't even go that deep. I've just seen that this guy has gone and done 3 pre-sales and people are continuing to give the guy money. Like it's so confusing. It almost, for me, it's like, is it real? Like, is he actually? But you can see it obviously on chain transactions that the wallet has like 14 million US or something in it. And I don't understand who's giving him this money. Like, throughout I think it was the first or the second pre-sale, people were like putting class actions together against him. And he, like, they were claiming that he wasn't giving them the right scale of tokens for what the money they gave him.
Yeah, there was an airdrop, wasn't there? And because I clicked on, yes, people were doing a class action because they didn't get enough money for the airdrop. And I was like, what was he airdropping? And then I clicked on the fact that there was this PSYOP coin. And I was like, what? When did that come into the mix? Like, and it went on and on. And all of this has happened in, like you're saying now, a couple of weeks. Honestly, this industry creates bad actors so quickly and everything happens in record breakneck speed. It's unbelievable. And still no one knows who this guy is.
So apparently they're launching a DEX and they're going to airdrop 25% of the liquidity pool profits to Ben holders. This is a mess. They're launching a DEX called Loyal, which is a meme coin launch pad. Either way, guys, just be very careful with influencer shilling this sort of garbage.
But if I get enough emails from enough Tracys, I will consider my own coin, all right? Just let me know in the emails. Oh, no, honestly kidding. With that, we'll move on to our next story, which is a much more lighthearted story, folks. Pudgy Penguins are making a comeback, prove that turnarounds are possible in this NFT market right now. Craig, tell us about what's happening with these little in real life toys that are being sold on Amazon.
So Pudgy's Penguins started in the peak around the time of the Bored Apes. Then they were bought by a guy for $2 million. So he acquired Pudgy Penguins. And then he brought on like an expert advisory team. He had like the CEO of Nansen. He had like VC guys. He had like hedge fund guys. Like he built like 9 or 10 of these like Twitter goats on crypto Twitter that were just like really on the pulse. So that's the context of Pudgy's. And now they've announced that they've closed a $9 million funding round to launch real-life Pudgy Penguin toys on Amazon. They've closed the round and now they've launched like last week, they've sold 20,000 in a few days and over $500,000 on Amazon, and they're actually ranked number one on the toy releases page on Amazon.
They're really cute. They are very cute. And they, you know what? They wouldn't have done so well if they didn't look so cute. So
yeah. So I think if your Pudgy has been made, you're getting royalties off the toy sales.
Do you know how many of the Pudgies were made into, like how did you get chosen or anything like that? Do you know?
Yeah. So when I actually had a Pudgy at the time, when they you had to put up your Pudgy for auction, or like not auction, but like to get selected.
Licensing.
Yeah. So they only selected a few, obviously, because they can't select 10,000. But I don't know if it was luck of the draw or certain characteristics that they wanted. But yeah, you had to put your Pudgy up to be licensed.
Are there many other projects out there, Theo, that are doing stuff like this with the NFTs, like turning it into toys, or, you know, people have their own licensing and can do what they want with them? Because not all NFTs, you have your own licensing, you can do what you want.
No, that's right. So there are, well, there's a combination of a few things happening. So let's talk about Bored Apes. So similar system where each individual has the IP to the one they own, but Bored Apes own the Bored Ape brand. So they did a collab with Superplastic, who are, they're one of the top high-end sort of collectible toy shops. Some of their characters are in like the Fortnite game, for example, but they're known for like really high-end quality toys. So Superplastic did a collab with Bored Apes where they put out, I think, 4 or 5 different versions of the Bored Ape figure.
So who gets the money for that then?
That goes straight to Yuga. I'm sure Superplastic would make some of it as well, like whatever, but it doesn't go to the holders. So that's an example. V Friends, again, they did a deal with Macy's. That will go straight to V Friends. I haven't heard of this sort of setup where the owners of the actual original IP in terms of the community
gets the actual royalties.
Yeah, would receive any royalties like that. It's always gone back to the brand or the original IP, the overarching IP holder.
Yeah, the two most similar ones, as Theo mentioned, was the Bored Apes and this YouTube channel called the Nelk Boys. So they had their own seltzer. And they had the banana seltzer, which had their Bored Ape as the packaging on the can.
That's right. You mentioned this at some point, yeah.
And also when I was in Bali, there was a tattoo, I believe it was a tattoo shop that had a billboard with their Bored Ape on it. They're the two best examples. But, yeah, this is the first that I've heard where, you know, pudgies have sort of done the hard work and the people that are owning that are reaping the rewards.
There you go. All right, I think we'll leave that there and we'll take a break. But when we come back, our short, sharp news bites. But not just that, we're going to get some alpha from Theo about what's hot in NFT space. So definitely come back after the break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Crypto Curious podcast. As I said, we have got Theo here, who is one of Australia's leading NFT dudes in the space. So while we've got you here, and like I said, me and Craig love our NFTs. We've probably got a big bag full of absolute rubbish each. Hopefully one day they'll turn around. 100%. But what do you hold? Like, what is your favorite? You know, everyone's down like a lot right now, but are you holding anything that even though it's down, you will never get rid of it? And on top of that, is there anything that you like at the moment?
I was emotionally attached to some of them early on, and by the time I got over it, it was too late. So I'm currently selling a shitload for a loss before the end of June for obvious reasons.
Okay.
So yeah, my emotional attachment disappeared quite a long time ago, and I was very much just, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, my position's still well up because I was in extremely early, but in terms of, like, you know, long-term holds, I don't have anything that I would hold long-term other than VFriends. I sold two of them at the end of 2021, so I guess that's what I'm offsetting at the moment with my losses, because they did quite well. But, you know,
sorry to jump in, but you just mentioned Gary V and V Friends as something you hold on to. So you obviously still think that there's blue chips there. Like, we talk about Bitcoin, Ethereum as the blue chips. So with NFTs, do you feel that there's blue chips to hold on to? Like, and what are those blue chips? Obviously, you got your Yuga Labs and that kind of jazz. Do you see that as a blue chip?
As soon as I'm liquid enough, I will get a CryptoPunk, and that'll be the asset that I hold forever and pass on to my kids, and hopefully they pass it on after that. I think that the provenance behind it and what it stands for and what it means, as far as Web3 goes, nothing can ever take that away from them. So they could do nothing with that IP forever, and that would always be the flag in the ground, and no one can argue that. So it's like a Jordan rookie card, right? I trade basketball cards. It's the closest comparison. So for me, that's where I'm going towards. It's sort of just either I've already sold them, or I will sell all of the other stuff that sort of just is lying around. But
you don't think any of that other stuff might potentially roll back with the next run up?
Possibly, but it's gambling, right? So I did that, and some of it worked out, some of it didn't. And that's all good. It is what it is. But I'd rather sort out my capital gains this year and have peace of mind that's all sorted, and no one's going to come after me for it. And then sort of start July 1 fresh, and you know, I'm sure I'll double a little bit once it sets off again. But I see this as, you know, the closest comparison to the .com bubble burst. And what I mean by that is, like the overarching space completely shit the bed, but there were still the Amazons and the eBays and you know, the other emerging companies that came out of that that did extremely well and did significant multiples after that piece. And the technology is undeniable, right? So it's a very similar comparison. So you're going to get your scammers, you're going to get your house of card businesses that are run by sort of people that were just right place, right time, and don't know how to put a business together or sustain it, and that they've clearly, a lot of them have run out of money already. But you're also going to get these emerging businesses that either are around now or haven't even been created yet that will be absolutely worth investing into. And I really look at it as now it's, you're really investing in a startup. So, you know, try and find as much information about the people behind it versus, you know, what the actual IP is, right?
Okay, so people are listening out there, there is going to be a time when NFTs do pick up again. And if we look at the crypto market cycle, we know, and Craig and I speak about this often, that, you know, Bitcoin goes first, then Ethereum, then the altcoins, and then NFTs next? So we know that, you know, NFTs kind of come last, but they do go. So, you know, there will be a time for NFTs again. But there's still, I mean, look, May wasn't that bad. I looked at the stats yesterday and we've got marketplaces like Blur coming up and doing different things. So it's been, you know, pretty shitty 12 months, but there's projects that are still coming out and doing unusual things. People are looking for different types of utility. It's not completely dead. So what do you see for the future of the NFT market in your crystal ball?
The good thing about it, and I guess what separates, I feel it may decouple from like this, you know, the systemic trickle down that we've seen over time, is the cultural aspect of it. You know, the fact that it appeals to a wider audience that don't necessarily understand crypto and don't want to trade coins because that doesn't excite them. Whether it be the utility or the chance to be a super fan or the love of art, whatever it might be, there are additional entry points, and also more and more marketplaces and companies are accepting fiat credit cards as an entry point as well, and they work out the blockchain stuff in the back end, and essentially the customer experience or the user experience has much less friction because they're not having to sort of deal with the crypto onboarding that can be cumbersome sometimes. So I think that, you know, whether that ends up being true or not, I'm not sure. I think it makes sense from a consumer standpoint that, you know, that it could sort of start to have its own cycles and patterns. Obviously, the far majority of it is, you know, is traded in crypto. So for sure, it's still going to have an enormous influence for quite a long time moving forward.
But there's other access points now. I think you're spot on.
And
there,
I think that'll smooth out over time. Now, whether it's 2, 5, 10, 15 years, I'm not sure. But I think that's, if you're talking about my crystal ball or if I had to guess, that's the way that I see it going. And that's what will enable, you know, more people into it. And I think it will actually have like a reverse effect where it'll bring more people into crypto because they'll get that entry point, and then they might, you know, sort of have, they might have a taste of it, and that might be their sort of first step into the space as well. But I think, you know, until that happens, and until, you know, America stops printing money for no reason, and until there's a proper correction in the macro. Economic space, I don't know where we're going to see like a sustained uplift, you know, unless people just say, I'm not using fiat anymore, and that's what is the catalyst for the next bull run, and everyone just literally...
Well, look, we can only hope.
Yeah, totally.
Can only hope. Yeah. No, I think I like your take on it. I think you're right there. So great alpha, love that. But we do need to jump into our short, sharp news bites. We have a few today. We'll see if we can get through them. Craig, you can hit us off first today, mate.
Yep. So Binance has introduced an NFT loan feature for traders. So now you can lock up your Bored Ape, Mutant Ape, Azuki or Doodles, and you can lend against your NFT. So that was pretty common back in the day, but now Binance have come to the party.
I don't know how many people in Australia be doing that on Binance, but anyway, sidebar. Mm-hmm.
Put your punk up for borrow against your punk fee.
Yeah, maybe not. All right, moving on. Ethereum's Layer 2 networks experienced a surge in mainnet publishing fees during May, reaching nearly 9,000 ETH or $16.2 million, which is some big numbers for the month of May. So there you go. What's up next, Theo?
NFT marketplace Blur's NFT lender program, Blend, has facilitated nearly 16,000 loans for a total of 123,500 ETH or $225 million, according to a report from Nansen.
That's massive. Blur's just kicking loads of goals.
Well, that's why Binance have launched it then.
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly, right? Like, yeah, anything that makes money, they jump on it quickly. That's crazy. Like, oh, that makes me so nervous.
What else, Craig?
So GTA 6, which has been in production for like 20 years, it feels like, the most anticipated game of all time, is being rumored that they're going to have play-to-earn gaming mechanics that could see gamers earn crypto in real life.
I love it when they say there's leaks. They've obviously clearly like put it out into many places as possible. So this is a big deal, is it?
Yeah, this would be, because this is, when this comes out, this could be the best-selling game of all time.
All right, cool. I'll go and ask my children and my husband. I'm sure they'll know all about it. Anyway, what's next? Ava Labs, the company behind Layer 1 blockchain Avalanche, is launching Ava Cloud, a Web3 launch pad that helps businesses build no code, so fully managed by blockchain ecosystems. Apparently, this is a big deal. Avalanche, again, seem to be going, you know, leaps and bounds ahead. So that's pretty cool from Avalanche. What's up?
Steppen, the Web3 move to earn game, is integrating Apple Pay to enable fiat on-ramp for in-app purchases, like we were just talking about before, right? Aiming for broader accessibility. So, yeah, totally.
Yeah, this is big for them. Yeah, especially on Apple. I'm very surprised at that. So that is big news.
Huobi have launched Huobi HK. So Huobi is an exchange that's been around for years. Justin Sun, they call him Your Excellency. They call him on crypto Twitter as a joke.
He's my boy.
Please.
So he, you know, Huobi HK, they're actually a Chinese exchange. So they're going to be in Hong Kong now. So they're trying to get in front of Hong Kong's new laws. Yeah. So.
All right, see how that goes. All right, what's up next? Crypto exchange Gemini has submitted a request to dismiss the SEC's lawsuit against them. They argue that the SEC's claim of selling unregistered securities goes beyond what is reasonably allowed by the law. So Gemini and the twins are just pushing this one as far as they can. I was keeping you up to date with that one. I know we've been talking about it. So, yep, go boys, see how you go with the SEC there. What's next? Oh,
how about this absolute clown?
Yeah.
Crypto hater Peter Schiff to drop Bitcoin Ordinals NFT art collection. Are you serious?
What is with that? That is hilarious. Is that, I was like, is that real?
I thought it was a troll.
No, I thought it was too, but I've looked and I couldn't get a real take on that. We'll keep that in there. And if that's not real, we'll come back next week with a retraction, folks. But
I really hope it's not real.
No, we'll see. But what else for our last bit of news, Craig?
Finish up. So Ethereum whale numbers have surged. So data shows that 30 million ETH are owned by quote unquote large investors, which is up from 26.5 earlier this year. So
it's a big jump from earlier this
big
year.
Big guys are accumulating ETH.
And I was actually reading the Bankless newsletter this morning. You know, they love going on about Ethereum, but they were showing some numbers around since the Shanghai about what's staked. It's huge. Ethereum is having its day right now on staking. So those numbers don't surprise me at all. All right, well, that's it, folks, for our short, sharp news bites and our episode today. It was a good one. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of alpha there, talking NFTs. So thank you so much for being with us. It's been real. Hopefully we'll get you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So everybody, that's it for this week. If you think we've missed anything, please send us an email, podcast@getbamboo.io. If you want to chat some more, join us in the Facebook Crypto Curious community. And please hit the subscribe button. Make sure that you get the podcast each week. Thanks for now. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Bye.
Crypto Curious is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. Equity Mates gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by a range of financial service professionals. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Crypto Curious are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Equity Mates Media does not operate under an Australian Financial Services License and relies on the exemption available under the Corporations Act of 2001 in respect of any information or advice given. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find the ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Crypto Curious acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to the elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.